Welcome into week three of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. We want to thank Ag Business Associates and Rush CPA and Associates for bringing you the program each week as we take a look at eight area high school football games. We'll start off by taking a look back at how we did last week and then get into our first couple of picks right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA and Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win, the usual crew here with you, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. Let's take a look at week two, and well, it's kind of a rough week for us, a little bit. We had a few games that were maybe a surprise, at least to us, as we'll start off taking a look at the eight-man games. Audubon picked up a 23-0 victory over Fremont Mills. Shut them out. Impressive win for the Wheelers. We all had Fremont Mills, so we all got that one wrong. Congratulations to Coach Burks and his squad there on that big win. Also, Exira EHK able to hold off Sydney. That was a wild back-and-forth game. Apparently, Sydney getting a late score did not convert on the two-point conversion, and that's how the Spartans held on to win. So 46-44 the final. We all had the Spartans, so we all eked one out there. Griswold came up short to East Union. It was a close game early, but East Union pulled away. 54-26 the final there. We all had the Tigers, so we all got that one wrong. Trainer was a 42-14 winner over St. Albert, as we all had the Cardinals in that one, so we all got that one correct. HSCW went on the road and beat Shenandoah 35-27 the final in that one. That was a winner for Doug and myself. Matt and Jim got that one incorrect there with the Mustangs. Clarinda shut out Red Oak on the road 40-0. We all had the Cardinals. We all got that one right. Denison Schleswig, a 56-28 win over Abraham Lincoln. That was a winner for everybody but Jim. He went out a limb on that one. Lost that. And Atlantic fell on the road at Creston. Creston 35-13, the final. That was a winner for Jim and myself. Matt and Doug had that one wrong with the Trojans. So that's how we went last week. It was a 6-2 week for myself. I'm at 13-3 overall. Doug went 5-3 last week. He's at 12-4. 4-4 weeks for both Matt and Jim. Jim's at 11-5 and Matt at 9-7 here after our first 2 weeks of action. So we'll dive in now to week number three and hope we get this ship steered in the right direction here. We're going to start off with a couple of eight-man games to get it things going. And Exira EHK now will turn around and go on the road to take on that Audubon Wheeler team coming off the big win at home over Fremont Mills. And the Wheelers get to play host here again for what's, you know, always an interesting rivalry game. Guess I'll start her off here, being out in front here by a game. This is an interesting matchup just because of the proximity. They always don't like to, you know, play each other all that much, and there's a little bad blood there sometimes. But obviously the Wheelers have been shown that they're a very impressive team here this year. Just the very tight loss. They're on the road to Remsen St. Mary's. Otherwise, two other impressive wins over East Mills and over Fremont Mills. And now they get a chance to try to do it at home again, and I like their chances. Exira EHK, nice bounce back for them last week. They're going to get better, as I said before, as the season goes along, but just not enough horses here to compete with the Wheelers. Jim.
Yeah, same. You know, beating Sydney last week, you know, congratulations on the win, but it just didn't show enough to make me think that they would be able to get past an Audubon team that looks to be on a pretty impressive roll. Anytime you can shut out a team like Fremont Mills, that's pretty good stuff. Getting a chance to play at home again, second week in a row. You know, Audubon, I mean, honestly, they're like 2 points away from probably being a top three team in the state in their class if they had beaten Remsen St. Mary's. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Wheelers.
All right, that's two there for Audubon. I was a little surprised they didn't jump up further in the poll this week. They're still sitting at number seven this week, but not enough respect yet for the Wheelers. Doug, do they continue to impress?
I think they do. You know, Spartans rebounded last week, but you know, they've got some things they need to clean up a little bit. Try to not turn the ball over in the passing game a little bit, but Audubon is just on a roll now, so they're at home. I'm going to take the Wheelers.
All right, three for the Wheelers. Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Wheelers as well. And like you said, I'm very surprised. You know, you beat the number one in some of the polls, number one team in the state, and you really shut them out, which is, you know, even sometimes pretty rare at the eight-man game. You know, that's an impressive win, and they're back at home again this week what's become a little bit of a rivalry game since Audubon's dropped down to the eight man as well, like Exira EHK. We'll go with the Wheelers at home.
All right, Wheelers across the board there in our first game on the sheet. We've got one more eight man game to talk about before we break here, and it will be the Cam Cougars at home to take on Glidden-Ralston. Glidden-Ralston right now is at number 9 in the eight man rankings. Jim, you get first look here at this one.
I don't want to go first.
I know.
No, I don't want to go first. Is there a problem? Do we have an argument here?
Yeah, we do.
I don't think I have any
okay,
volunteers.
I guess I just lost. It's got to be unanimous or you lose. That's the way this democracy works. Glidden-Ralston throws the ball around the yard a little bit. I've noticed they have four different guys who've tossed a pass so far this year in two games. That's throwing the ball around the yard a little. Lane Speaker's been rolling up the yardage on the ground for Cam this year, and they don't throw the ball a lot. They manage the game more with the passing game, but they've done a pretty good job running the football, and their defense has played pretty well so far this year. It's at home. I know Glidden-Ralston just cracked into the rankings a little bit, but I don't. There's going to be a celebrity there this Friday night, so I'm kind of hoping Cam will rise to the occasion to impress me. So,
all right,
okay.
A teaser?
I'm the celebrity. Yeah, in case you weren't aware of that.
That's why I was chuckling.
I just wanted to make sure you were clear. Yeah. Okay. I'm going with the Cougars.
All right. One for Cam. Doug.
Yeah, Speaker's been a pretty impressive player for Cam, you know, rushing the ball as well as playing well defensively, a couple of interceptions at least on defense. So, you know, I don't know, I guess, the quality of the opponents that Glidden-Ralston has beat. River Valley, who knows where that is? Correctionville, actually. Correctionville. I looked it up.
There you go. It's by the river.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know where it was. I had to look it up on
the
Google.
Valley.
But,
between a couple of hills.
They definitely, as you said, you know, pass the ball quite a bit at Glidden. A lot of offense going through. Borkowski and Brandt are the two kids' names that showed up pretty heavily in the stats. But I like Cam at home. I think they've got something going this year.
All right. Two for the Cougars. Matt?
Well, I think I think this young group of the Cam Cougars has really started to progress in these first couple of weeks. You know, they did lose some guys that have played quite a bit of ball for them the last couple of years in that senior group, and a little bit of size in there as well. And they've seemed to have adapted here, and I'm going to look for them to pull up, I guess, if Glidden-Ralston's ranked, then I guess it would be a little bit of an upset. So I'm going to go with the Cougars as well at home.
All right, another one there for the Cam Cougars. You know, you look at Glidden-Ralston and Borkowski, a good athlete. He's been a guy for them for a couple years now that's been impressive. It looks like they're kind of pretty much rotating those two guys at the quarterback spot pretty evenly between Borkowski and Brandt. They're both getting touches on both sides as far as running and throwing the ball. That's a little bit more difficult, I guess, to prepare for. But as you mentioned, Lane Speaker has been impressive. I thought he would have a breakout year, and he's been doing that for the Cougars. He's averaging 16 yards per carry, so obviously he's ripped off some big runs already. Nate Hensley's just been efficient at the quarterback spot. He's doing the right things, and I think, you know, as they work into some of the new guys as far as the other skill positions, you know, he's taking his time to figure that out. I think they've got the guys up front, and that's what makes them better. They haven't really been team tested yet. This will be a much tougher test for them, I think, than they've had yet. But I'm going to go with the Cougars as well. I think they get this one here on their home field against the Wildcats.
You know, last year we talked so much about how Cam lost so much from the year before and how they're going to. But it turned out to be a decent ball club last year. And then this year, boy, they lost. And here they are again. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep consistency like that in small schools. You lose a good class, and you could pretty well lose your program. Mm-hmm. But Joe's done a good job over there keeping these kids focused, and they understand what they are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, credit to him and the program. So that's a couple of sweeps here across the board to start it off. We'll come back and talk 11-man football right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return and will scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we head into some 11-man games now. We'll start off here with a 1AA matchup. Logan Magnolia goes on the road to take on St. Albert. And St. Albert 0-2 start to the year. I don't know. Tough to think the Falcons could be 0-3. Doug, what do you think?
Not too many years does that happen, you know, for sure. You know, Lomont, they do have a common opponent. Both have played Trainer. Both lost, you know, in a fairly similar score. And Lomont did pick up the victory last week against Mo Valley. But, you know, it's tough to go win on the hill, right? Don't they have a football field on a hill or something there in Council Bluffs? I don't see St. Albert going 0-3. I think they're going to pull out the win.
All right, it's one for the Falcons. Matt?
Okay. Logan Magnolia, they had a good ball game against Trainer. They did some nice things. I think eventually down the stretch of the game, Trainer was able to pull away from. During that game, Logan Magnolia, they also had like one of their scoring drives, was like a 10-minute scoring drive in there.
Wow.
So I think Coach was pretty impressed with that. And then they bounced back last week. Against a pretty decent Missouri Valley team in a little bit of a rivalry game for them. They got a couple of turnovers early in the game that kind of set the tone for them. They might be just a little bit undersized, but, you know, they were 1-8 last year. They kind of took that to heart. They've kind of corrected some things. So I'm going to go with Logan Magnolia on the road. And, you know, this has become a little bit of a few years back, this game was back and forth. They were meeting regular season and then sometimes meeting in the playoffs as well. So there's a little bit of history to this game here, and I'm going to look for the Panthers to come out on top.
All right, so that's one there for Logan Magnolia. For Logan Magnolia, Gavin McGuire has been doing a pretty good job carrying the ball. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry. He scored 4 touchdowns. The thing I wrote down for St. Albert is, where is the offense? They just don't have any yet. They haven't been able to get anything going yet on that side of the ball, and that definitely is concerning. This is pretty tough. I think that maybe that win last week was a good one for Logan Magnolia. I just don't know how good. I'm not sure how that Missouri Valley team is going to round out the rest of the season. I guess I'm kind of with Doug on this one. I just don't see a St. Albert team going 0-3 to start the season, and being at home, they might have a little extra juice. I'm going to go with the Falcons, but this will be probably a really good game. Jim?
Well, this worries me. Last week, there was one game where Matt and I were together, and you guys were together, and Matt and I came out on the short end. Just echoing what you guys said earlier, going last here, we were all saying the same thing. Logan Magnolia doesn't have much of a passing game. They lean hard on the running game, but St. Albert doesn't have any kind of an offense at all, running or passing right now. Logan Magnolia, I was surprised to see that the type of football they play. They've only created 2 turnovers so far this year in their first 2 games. That kind of surprises me. They usually lean kind of heavy on taking the ball away from other teams. But ground and pound, I'm going to take Logan Magnolia to win that one.
All right, we're going to split that one up 2 apiece. Got another 1AA matchup here, and this should be a good one, a good matchup here this week. Underwood goes on the road to take on Tri-Center. Matt, you get first look here at this one.
Okay, I'm going to go with the road team. I'm going to go with the Eagles on the road. Another matchup, Western Iowa Conference teams here matching up on Friday night. But I think Underwood's, you know, they're looking for a good season this year. They've kind of been looking forward to this one all during the offseason. I think they continue to do what they do best, and so I'm going to look for the Eagles to beat the Trojans.
All right. It's one there for Underwood. Yeah, Eagles off to an impressive start. They've played really well here so far. Nick Ravlin's been very efficient with throwing the ball. 443 yards, 6 touchdowns already. They've got 4 different guys that already have 10-plus carries. Of course, some of that is a result of being up and getting some other guys into the game. But they've got some weapons. Bryson Freeburg's been pretty good for Tri-Center as well. He's been doing it both throwing and passing. He's got 3 touchdowns either way. And they've got some other guys that can play those skill position spots. So Tri-Center's going to give them a good test here, I think. But I'm with Matt here. I think Underwood's got a little bit more as far as guys that they can turn to, and they're just this is a team that they really want to have some success with. So I think the motivation is going to be there to try to pick up a road win here. So I'll go with the Eagles. Jim.
Yeah, you mentioned they have 4 different running backs. Guys have carried the ball at least 10 times so far this year. They've also hit 8 different wide receivers so far this year. A lot of weapons out there. Underwood's a rapidly growing school district these days, and I think the program is rapidly growing to be a little bit of a juggernaut, too. I like the Eagles on the road.
All right, 3 for Underwood. Doug?
Well, I'm not gonna go out on a limb on this one, not with Underwood. I think they're a good squad this year. I think Tri-Center will be competitive. They did beat MVAOCOU 48-0.
Did you just swear?
Well, the FCC would frown on that, wouldn't they?
Yes.
So I refrain from swearing on the radio. So I'm going to take Underwood.
All right, Eagles across the board there in that one. We've got another 1AA matchup, and it's the ACGC Chargers going on the road to take on the Nottoway Valley Wolverines. And maybe a little bit of surprise for both these two teams here to start the season. I guess I get first look here at this one. The Chargers, 2-0 to start the year. Been a long time since that's happened for them. They were 3-6 last year. And then Nottoway Valley, they've already matched their win total from the past 3 seasons combined. They didn't have a victory at all last year, and they opened up the year with a win and picked up one last week now over Clark. So both fairly new head coaches. I think ACGC has been maybe just a touch more impressive here early on. They've been able to do it on the ground. They've got a couple of guys that have rushed over 250 yards, and they kind of got, I think, more of that ground game going. Nottoway Valley's really put it up through the air, as Nathan Russell, their quarterback, has thrown for 704 yards already, 9 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions. So they have turned it over a little bit. I just like a little bit more of the experience that's out there for the Chargers, so I think they go on the road here and get the win. Jim.
All right, yeah, that's, yeah. Nottoway Valley throws the ball all over the place. Any truth or rumor, the quarterback's arm's starting to come loose?
He's a robot.
I mean, they're throwing the ball everywhere. Yeah, they are really trying to do some loosen things up a lot. ACGC just has a solid ground game. Their defensive numbers look really impressive, too, so far here in the early season. I like running game. I like defense. I like the Chargers.
All right. It's 2 for the Chargers. Doug?
Well, I don't know. You know, you look at the opponents they played. ACGC, you know, I do like that running game as well. 3 backs that have all had 100-yard games, which is impressive. But I just look at the competition they played, and I don't know that it's maybe at the same level as Nottoway Valley. Now, Nottoway Valley, you know, they've been up and down. Talk about their passing, 300 and some yards first game, 80 yards on the second game, and then 300 the third game. So is this going to be up and down, or are they going to get shut out again this week or not? I don't know. I'm going to go with the home team, Nottoway Valley.
All right. It's one there for the Wolverines. Matt?
Okay. I'm going to leave Doug out there by himself. I'm going to take the Chargers on the road. Kind of like what Jim said there, I like their running game. Coach Mathewson up there, I think this is his second year as a coach up there, and he's really changed the culture across the board, you know, not only on the football field, but he's responsible for the weight room as well. And, you know, their strength and conditioning has really ramped up, and they're definitely, you know, doing some right things there. So I'm going to go with the Chargers.
All right. So Doug gets left out on a limb there on that one. We've got one more pick here before we take a break, and we've got a 3A-2A matchup, a little Hawkeye 10 affair here as Glenwood goes on the road to take on Kemper Catholic. Jim, you get first crack here at this one.
Yeah, it's the on-the-road part that worries me a little bit. But Kemper Catholic last week against South Central Calhoun, they had a tough time kind of getting started. Turned the ball over too much and just struggled a little bit there. And that's a pretty good ball team. Glenwood's quarterback, Zach Carr, has put together two very solid football games so far this year. And I just think Glenwood's too much for Kemper Catholic. It worries me that they're on the road, but I'm going to go with the Rams in this one.
All right, one for Glenwood. Doug?
Yeah, Jim mentioned Zach Carr there. He's his first week, he had 387 yards passing, five touchdowns, and 131 yards rushing. That's a nice stat line for one game. That eclipses my whole high school career stat line, I'm sure, by probably 300 yards.
And I'm sure he's proud about that.
Well, I mean, I'm the standard by which he measures himself, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, we saw him, he was impressive on the basketball court as well. He's a heck of an athlete. And they do have a running back in Mayberry that can get some yards, too. I think Kemper, you know, they have Zaneberg, I think, is a good running back for them. And then, of course, they have Blaze Gunnarsson, who's a kid that could certainly be a difference maker, obviously, on defense. He's also playing a pretty good tight end for him. But I think Glenwood's just – I think they rebounded. You know, I think they were a little bit down last year, and the coach challenged them, and they're stepping up their play.
All right, two for the Rams. Matt?
Yeah, and Carr, you know, you also mentioned he's got a couple of good receivers out there to throw to as well. They have some good size in them, over 6'2", 6'3", both of them. So yeah, that helps them out a lot. Their defense, they've always been strong on defense. The Rams have been a little surprised last week in Kemper, not having the ability to score. I was just extremely surprised, and the number of points that they gave up. So, I don't know. And even the first week, they kind of struggled with St. Albert kind of getting things going there as well, and it was late in the game before they put some points up and got things going. So I'm going to go with Glenwood, even though it's on the road for them, but I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right, three for the Rams. And, you look at Kemper Catholic, I think maybe things have been most surprising to me. I thought that maybe this would be a little bit of an issue with them losing so many from their wideout core. That's where they really lost from last season. And they did have the quarterback back in Cole Collison, who really likes to throw it around, but he's just not having the success that he's had in the past, 16 of 44 so far. So they've really struggled to get that part of the game going. And Glenwood, yeah, Carr's been having a great season. They brought back a ton of players from last year. A little shout-out, Cole Mayberry, one of my cousin's boys, so congratulations to him. He kind of had a breakout week last week in that win over Bishop Healing Catholic. He's suffered through some injuries up until this point, so I'm sure he's having some fun. And, yeah, they just got a solid team. They got a lot of guys that contribute, and I think they go on the road here and pick up that victory. So Glenwood across the board there in that one. We've got two more picks left, and we'll do that after we take this break.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we head into a Class 3A matchup as the Carroll Tigers go on the road to take on the Harlan Cyclones. And Doug, you get a first look here at this one.
Well, this will be an interesting matchup. Carroll's 1-1 on the year. You know, they hung in there against Glenwood, but, you know, they lost fairly handily. I don't know. They beat Ballard last week. I don't know anything about Ballard, but they definitely have been able to throw the ball. Pretty talented quarterback, I think, for the Tigers. You know, Harlan last – I was impressed 2 weeks ago against Denison. You know, I think Denison's a decent squad, and they were able to beat them on the road. They really took it on the nose last week against Sergeant Bluff Luton. I think one thing that points out is Lewis Central apparently is the class of this area, certainly for 3A, because they smoked Sergeant Bluff. But back to this game, I'm going to take Harlan at home, you know, to rebound after that tough loss last week.
All right, that's one there for the Cyclones. Matt?
Yeah, kind of just building off what Doug said there. I think, you know, even though they, you know, looked like what they lost pretty handily to Sergeant Bluff Luton, I think they still played them pretty tough. Harlan did last week, and, you know, and Sergeant Bluff Luton had gotten beat pretty good the week before there against Lewis Central. So, you know, I think they were looking to extract some demons and get their season started going there as well. So once they got the gas going, they just kept it going, you know, and you know, there's some of these teams, you know, they're looking to get to the dome. So I think this would be a shocker if Carroll won. So I'm going to go with the Harlan Cyclones as well.
All right. It's the Cyclones there and a couple of those picks here. Yeah, and, you know, both these teams, yeah, coming into the season, I think had high aspirations. And, you know, you would think that both are going to come out and kind of play with a little bit of swagger out there. So you would expect both of them to come out and play strong. Carol, I guess I've been impressed with the way they played. I mean, that game that they lost to Glenwood, they lost on like a last-second field goal. They were right with them throughout the game. Last week, I think Ballard actually is a pretty tough team. Ballard had beaten Boone the prior week, so I think that's another nice win there for them. Harlan, yeah, you look at the 2 weeks and you kind of think different things, I guess, on where they're going. They just haven't been able to throw the ball very efficiently either. They're 17-47 there for Jonathan Monson. They do have some good players all around the field. But I've liked what Carroll's been able to do, putting it up through the air. I actually think they might pull off the shocker. I'm going to take the Tigers here on the road. Jim.
All right. Well, I don't know. I think Harlan's D has the swagger. Harlan's offense, just there's not much there right now. It just doesn't seem like they're generating much. But, you know, I swear Harlan could go out and score 35 points and still not have more than 100 yards total offense because their D just keeps creating turnovers, put themselves in good position. Carroll just doesn't have much on the ground at all. It's hard to pick against Harlan at home in these kind of circumstances. For me, I just kind of look at it as there's, you know, they both have their strengths, weaknesses, whatever. I'm going with Harlan. That's the intangible there at home.
All right, so I get left out on a limb there with the Carroll Tigers. One more game, and it'll be our broadcast game here tonight as well. Atlantic, second week in a row on a road, and they will go down to take on the Clarinda Cardinals. And a couple of teams off to a good start here this year. Clarinda 2-0 on the season. Atlantic a little bit tripped up last week after a good start against Creston. And are the Trojans able to bounce back this week, Matt?
Well, yeah, that is the question of the week. I think they showed some good signs there last week. Definitely, you know, the way they came out and played early on, just tighten up a few things defensively for them. I think, you know, they'll be able to come out with a victory. Probably another aspect of it is you just got to get tough, you know. You know, Creston's a team that just wants to bully you around and throw you around and keep doing it. And our guys have got to have that same mentality, you know, as far as doing that. So I think that's going to be one aspect is if they can just kind of get that a little bit of an attitude when you're out there on the football field. So with that being said, Clarinda also, you know, Scholl, if they can shut down the Scholl kid at quarterback, you know, he's the one that kind of makes things go. He's got a lot of speed back there. So, you know, just being able to contain him is going to be able to contain their offense. So I think the Trojans have enough, so I'm going to go with the Trojans on the road.
All right. It's one there for Atlantic. And, yeah, the Trojans going on the road to try to get back on track. I'm with Matt. I think they, you know, showed some signs of being impressive last week. Obviously, you know, we're able to hit a couple big early plays. You know, Tyler Moen's Tyler Moen. I think you know what you're going to get out of him each week, and he's a guy that you can, you know, hang your hat on. But it has to be the who else is going to step up and make that play from time to time to alleviate that and to make the offense a little bit more diverse. That's what's going to be key there for them. You know, with the young quarterback, he's going to get more confident as the season moves along, and I think he'll be all right as it goes along. I've been impressed by the defense, too. A couple of guys that have really, you know, improved from last season. Mr. Polito there on the inside really made a lot of tackles there at the linebacker spot. Joe Weaver's a guy that's been flying all over the place. So they've got some guys that can make plays there defensively, and I think that'll be good against this type of offense that Clarinda is going to, you know, just kind of try to run at you. So I think they're able to slow Mr. Scholl down enough, and I think Atlantic picks up this win on the road as well. Jim.
All right, very good. Well, despite the loss last week, Atlantic played a much better opponent than what Clarinda did. And Clarinda, I was surprised. I thought they'd generate a lot more offense in that 40-0 win over Red Oak. I just didn't see a whole lot of yardage piled up there. But I think Atlantic's game plan these days would be like from Saturday through Thursday, wrap Tyler Moen in bubble wrap, make sure he stays healthy, does not get hurt, and then unleash him on Friday nights. I mean, the kid's averaging, what, almost 13 yards a carry? It's ridiculous. A good ridiculous. And I think that's going to lead Atlantic to a win come up Friday night. Yeah, I like his chances here this week.
All right, three for the Trojans. Doug?
Well, you know, Atlantic gave up some long passes to Creston. Creston's offense was pretty varied. I mean, you had to really they had a good running back, too, and who scored on a pretty long run there as well. So I just think I don't think Clarinda's offense is going to be obviously as dynamic as Creston's was. I think Atlantic's going to be able to key a little bit more on Shull. Again, as everybody else has said, you know, we need to find a second or third source of offense. Tyler Moen is a special athlete, and he's a ton of fun to watch. But, you know, if we can't get some scoring going somewhere else, you know, that would open everything up, I think. So I think Atlantic's going to win. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think the Trojans can do it.
All right. It's Trojans across the board there in that one. And we do have one more game to discuss here before we finish up the show. This is our annual tiebreaker, the old Cy-Hawk rivalry, College Ames Day this weekend. As game day comes to town for the Cy-Hawk battle, Iowa State. Of course, Hawkeyes 2-0 now. Big win over Rutgers last week, and Iowa State 1-0 squeaker over UNI. Who gets to start here? I guess I do. I'm gonna take the home team. I think the shocker. Opening one, yeah, that's a shocker, isn't it? I think that opening week game, the Cyclones obviously need to show more than they did in that first game against UNI, and I think part of it was they were trying to be a little bit too conservative with what they wanted to show. I think Mr. Purdy gets a chance to run around a little bit more in this game. He's going to have to some, and I think he gets the job done making some plays. So I'm going to go with the Cyclones, and I'm going to go 35 points. Jim.
They're going to win by 35
no,
points?
No, that's total.
Wow.
That's the total. No.
Just messing with me.
If that happens, boy, offensive explosion. Be way better than last year's game.
Yeah. This is one of those odd years where teams are allowed two byes. It only happens like, what, once every 6 or 7 years where they get a double bye in the year. And I think whoever loses this game is going to hate the bye week. Iowa State will hate the bye week, thinking it probably affected their preparation because they didn't get that other game in to make progress. If they lose the game, and if Iowa loses the game, you're going to hate that bye week having to think about this for 2 weeks. So it's like either or. But I don't know. This is going to be a pretty good game. They've been pretty good games up at Ames. Last couple 3 or 4 games, seems like they've all been pretty close, hard-fought games coming right down toward the end. I do like Iowa to win. I think that getting that extra game, and especially a conference game. I mean, yeah, it was Rutgers, but it's a conference game, you know, so it's a process builder for you. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with about 45 points.
All right. Doug.
Well, I'm going to take the Cyclones for sure, but, it's awesome that game day is up there. I'm really excited about that. You know, I just worry a little bit. This would be the first time Iowa State, obviously, has ever had game day there. I probably didn't need to say that for the listening audience. Of course, game day has never been in Ames before, but I just worry that it's a bit of a distraction. You know, I hope they are able to concentrate a little bit. You know, I agree with Chris. I think might have been a little bit under wraps on offense last week or 2 weeks ago against UNI, but you know what? If not for a Purdy fumble recovery, they lost that game. Yeah. So at some point, you have to score and win. I'm going to take Iowa State and total points, 36.
Matt's going $1.
$1. All right, well, I'm going to take the Hawks on the road there, too. Yeah, I think it's just it is going to be pretty chaotic up there in Ames, towards the latter half of this week, and there will be a lot of distractions there for the Iowa State team. But I think Coach Campbell's, he's pretty on top of things, and he's going to make sure that they understand that there's a game to be played, and that's why everybody is there. On the flip side there, Iowa, you know, the same thing. Over there, they had their press conference here And, you know, it's pretty subdued there. It's typical Kirk Ferentz. We're going to go over there. We're going to play, and we're going to move on. Whatever happens will happen. But, you know, I just think kind of like what you guys have already said, I don't think Iowa State's offense has really shown enough yet to get things done. Some of the keys, defensive secondary there for Iowa, you know, what will happen there. But I think Iowa just has a little bit too much, so I'm going to pick them. And it has been high scoring in the past, but I'm going to – I don't know if it's going to quite get to 45 or not. Between the two teams? Yeah, I'll go with 46 then, just in case Jim and I tie.
All right. 46, going high. Yeah, if it's anything like last year, we're all way above.
I don't know if we're
going to
tie.
I don't think it's going to matter. Neither one of us are going to be in first at the end of the year. So.
All right. Well, it should be a lot of fun to obviously watch all that festivities there on Saturday, see how the game comes out. Should be a good one. That's going to do it here for week number 3. I want to thank Ag Business Associates and Rush CPA and Associates for bringing you Who's Going to Win again here this week. Stay tuned. We've got Atlantic at Clarinda coming up as Mike Smith joins me for the broadcast. Pregame getting started here in a moment and kickoff at 7 o'clock. This is Who's Going to Win here on KJN.